I am edified by your silence. The Our Father is not only the Lord's Prayer. The prayer that our Lord himself taught us has become the most famous prayer in the world. May safety say it is recited by more people, has been explained by more commentators than any other verbal form of worship in human history. It is also one prayer which Christ himself taught his first disciples, and ever since his faithful followers over the ages. St. Ignatius reminds us to periodically reflect on the prayers we say, because we pray the Lord's Prayer, it lasts hardly a minute, but the significance persists to the ages. Again, as Peter emphasizes, the Our Father is the one prayer that St. Ignatius most frequently recommends. Wrote in his second method of prayer, he gives explicit directives how to use the Our Father as a basis for meditation. Saint Ignatius, while reading or sitting as best suits one's devotion, by being one's eyes closed or fixing them in one position. Now the teacher to say, Father, and then continue meditating on his one word, his own defines meaning, contrast, relish, consolation, and insight from the Lord. The same method should be followed with every word of the Our Father. I would strongly recommend, at least periodically, taking the Lord's Prayer, taking the Hail Mary, the Apostles' Creed, and spending as much time as you can on every word, every phrase of the prayer. Spending two meditations on the Lord's Prayer. He divided his seven meditations into different meditations. All the while we should remember that the more deeply we understand the meaning of Christ's word, the one prayer he explicitly, formally taught his followers, the more glory we are giving to God, the more grace we are meriting for ourselves and others. I recommend doing this not only for the Lord's Prayer, for the Hail Mary, the Apostles' Creed. Every so often, take time out, half an hour, this case, close to 1 hour, on each part of the Lord's Prayer. The secret is to divide the prayer in two parts. Meditate on each part. Meditating means thinking about the meaning and applying the meaning to ourselves, and then expressing our deepest sentiments of the heart to God as they come from Him to our souls. Now we begin the Our Father, we try to realize to whom we are speaking. The Our Father is addressed to all three persons of the Blessed Trinity. We address God, therefore, as Our Father. One of the titles that God has by nature and revealed by grace. God is, first of all, our Father, the creator of all things that exist. Every so often I meditate on what the world was before he made it. Nothing. Only God exists. May safely say there was a time, given a strange name, a time before anything but God existed. This may have been, in our human language, centuries, millennia, millions of our commonly designated years. God then decided to bring out of nothing this God, the world, into existence. Addressing God as our Father, we are addressing all three persons of the Holy Trinity. It is God as our Father by all the titles of both nature and grace. Just to refresh our memories. God is our Father, the Creator who made us out of nothing. We ought to know every one of us did not exist. Absolutely. Totally, mathematically, metaphysically, nothing. This is our ancestry. Why? God made it out of selfless love. There is no profit to God in creating anything or anyone. Could God have remained alone? Of course. And would not have been lonely. God made us by all the title we give ourselves in nature and in grace. First of all, we've just said, God made us as our Creator. We dare not say there was any need that God had of us. Zero. God is our Father who sustains us. God not only created us, God is our continuing, sustaining Creator. All God has to do, that's all, is withdraw his loving will. He lapsed back in the nothingness from which he came. Of ourselves, we are absolutely, mathematically, metaphysically, zero. Nothing. Over the years in doing my own meditation on the Lord's Prayer, I have often reflected on the millions of persons God could have made but never created. none of us, not a single one of us, need exist. We exist only because of the mysterious love of God. Again, God is our Father, as we address Him, as the one who sustains in existence, provides for all our needs. What good would it have been for God to make us and left us? So in outer space, God created other human beings, our parents, or your fathers. God gave us children. God gave us the sun, moon, and stars. Hear it. God created the sun, moon, and stars for human beings. Only when we reach eternity shall we realize how important are not only the sun and moon, but the most distant stars. As our Father, because made us into His own likeness and image. Think of how much of the world around us has no intellect, no will. Could this chapel filled with men be filled with kittens? Or puppies, or pieces of rock? Of course, God chose. Oh, how we'll need eternity to understand why, dear Lord, why? You bring me into existence. Ask so for you, we would be what we were before we came into existence. Absolutely nothing. More still, God made us human beings to His own image and likeness. The mind and the free will. He is also our Father because He raised us by His grace to share in His own divine life. It is rare every so often, as in this meditation, to reflect on all the creatures that God has made that do not have a mind and a will. The sun, the moon and stars, the planet we're living on. Could God have made us a stone, or a puppy, or a cat, or a bird? Every bird we see has no more claim to existence than we do. God is our Father because, oh, how this needs to be said. Wasn't we like to see some empty chairs in chapel? Could we have been those empty chairs? Of course, God made us not only to exist as the animals do, will die and then disappear. God made us, hear it, God made us human being will last for all eternity. How we should thank God for the mind with which we can realize and the will with which we can express our gratitude to God. God has made us the object of His grace to share. Oh, this needs to be said. To our own planet Earth, only one of a variety of planets, the stars, the moon, the sun, much larger than we are. But no intellect, no will. Why did God make us? Let's be as clear and as sure as we can be. We exist only once more only because of God's love for us. There's a mind to know Him and a will to love Him. Suppose this chapel were filled with puppies. Here's one squatting on the chair on which you are sitting. What can I tell them? Every time I see an animal, I thank God. Lord, thank you for not maybe a cat or a dog. A dog or a cat have no more right to existence than we do. Am I clear? God is finally our Father because we are destined to possess no less than the God from whom we came in the beatific vision as the heirs of His infinite bounty and love. I cannot tell you, I preached for 52 years, how many times I reflected what I'm sharing with you, except for the goodness of God, either not exist or can exist as any one of the millions of creatures that have no mind, no will. They cannot know where they came from. They cannot know what their destiny is. It is impossible to exaggerate the importance. God did not have to make us who we are. Beyond. Throughout the Our Father, we are speaking to God as social beings. It is we and our, in us, that runs as a theme throughout what we call human society. And every society in the world, the 6 billion of people living in the world today, the billions of entered eternity, are all created only because God Himself is a society of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We address God as in heaven. Our Father, who art in heaven, let me be as clear as I can. We are certainly speaking to God in His heavenly glory. Here on earth, we're speaking to God. We have ears in heaven, surrounded by His angels and saints. But we also know they dwell in the depths of our souls, which in a sense is heaven by anticipation. As St. Augustine says, quoting Augustine, heaven is where the presence of God is consciously enjoyed. Memorize that. Heaven is where the presence of God is consciously enjoyed. Period. All this needs to be said. We shall anticipate heaven, look forward to reaching heaven, in the measure that we live in the presence of God, and let me say it, enjoy nothing more on earth, enjoy nothing more on earth than to live in the presence of God. My dear friends, I sincerely hope we shall all meet in heaven. Oh, the joy that awaits us. But we ought to have a foretaste of heaven here on earth by living in the presence of God and enjoying that presence here on earth. I recommend to all of you to consciously, deliberately, every day, not just on rare occasion, make yourself conscious of the presence of God. Speak to Him. Talk with Him. Hear it. God is always, always speaking to us. Sadly, you're not always listening to Him. And the presence of God should be enjoyed as a foretaste of heaven. And St. Augustine. Says Augustine, I observe two kinds of men. One kind who labors, the other of those among whom they labor. The one of men thinking of earth, the other of men thinking of heaven. One of those whose hearts are set on the depths, the other men who join their hearts to the angels. The one group of men trust in earthly things with which the earth abounds. Food, a warm climate, beautiful scenery. The other living among heavenly things, which God, who is not alive, has promised us. I mean it with all my heart. I'm looking forward to meeting all of you in heaven. Here on earth, only a very short time. You're not made for this world. You're made for heaven. You go on with the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be thy name. The Latin term is Sanctificatum Nomen Tuum, or better, Sanctificatum Nomen Tuum. May your name be sanctified. It is more clear than the English. Hallowed be thy name. What are we asking for in his first petition? Our praying, hallowed be thy name. We're asking for a number of things. We're asking that God may be known by those who do not believe in him. In America, their number is in the millions. That God may be loved by those who are immersed, drowned in the love of creatures, especially in the deep, deep love of themselves. Obeying God, he may be faithfully served by his rational creatures. How do we serve God? By the submission. Sub in Latin means under. By the submission of our wills to his divine will. That's what our lives on earth are meant to be. Lives of submission to the will of God. What are we praying for? The first petition. The name of God being reverently used in prayer and not as is so widely done by millions of people, profaned or blasphemed. In a word, the first and second commandments of God, that they may be obeyed. What do we pray for the Lord's Prayer? We pray that the worship of modern idols may cease. Oh, are we ever a pagan nation? Idols all around us. And the worship of these idols may cease. And the one true God may be honored by human beings. Here is, as a first and primary condition for our eternal destiny. There is one thing we should pray for in this petition. Before the recovery of the sacred in all its forms. Oh, dear God, dear Lord, how the sacred has been profaned. The sacred we believe it belongs to God. And made by God is seen, should be seen in the poverty of God, revered for the honor of God. Now, to the next sentence is, every aspect of the modern world has suffered from a profanation of the sacred. There are churches nowadays, even the outside, don't look like churches. I'm asking all of you, how many of you, when you pass a Catholic church, do not either bow or make the sign of the cross or pronounce some prayer? I make a resolution for all of you. From today on, never. I'll ask the Lord to remind you, if necessary, painfully. Every time you pass a Catholic church where Jesus Christ is reserved in the Blessed Sacrament, you bow, you have a head on, tip your hat, make the sign of the cross, and please, at the very least, say one word, Jesus. How true this is. Every aspect of the modern world has been the profoundest sense of the term desecrated. Therefore, beg God, plead with Him, to enlighten modern people. Their first duty on earth is to recognize the presence of God, respond to this presence in prayerful dependence on the God from whom they came and for whom they exist. Every so often, I bring my mother into my meditations. My father died when I was a year old. Mother never remarried. I was the only child. I never entered the house without first a little of the holy water flower was low, being taller it was higher, without putting my finger into the holy water, blessing myself, and I'm telling my mother, every time I enter the house, praised be Jesus Christ. That's why I'm here. Dear God, how we need to recover the sacred in our lives. A maxim from St. Francis de Sales. Well, that God be glorified, he must not care by whom. God should be glorified by everyone. What I mentioned earlier is a strong recommendation to every one of you. I don't know how many men wear hats, except maybe in a cold, cold winter. When you pass a Catholic church, if you head on, tip your hat. But at least make the sign of the cross. This is one of your retreat resolutions. Am I clear? For the rest of your lives, I'm not asking you, I'm telling you, every time you pass a Catholic church, the Blessed Sacrament Reserve, make the sign of the cross. Make it big. No matter who you're walking with, no matter who sees you, making that sign of the cross. And go on with the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come. When we pray that the kingdom of God may come, we're asking for many things. The biblical word kingdom is basileo, the term used by Jesus when he spoke of his church. Christ made the foundation of the church by his incarnation. The Church of Christ calls the Son of God his human life. Unless Christ had suffered and died on the cross, would not be a single Christian in the world. Christ made the foundation for his church by his incarnation. He believed infallibly the church came into existence the moment the Son of God became man, dropped his head, and died on the cross. Christ prepared the leaders of the church by calling and training his apostles. Oh, this needs to be said. Pray for bishops. Pray for the bishop of the diocese to which you belong. Or in Chicago, the bishops. Christ gave them authority and power over the church. When you know the apostles, ordain the apostles, and through them passed on the power that he gave to Peter and the apostles. When was the church founded by Christ born? He believed infallibly the church came to existence the moment Christ died on the cross. And as soon as Christ died, the church began to propagate and spread throughout the world. But so very much still needs to be done. And while we ask God that his kingdom may come, what are we praying for? Now, the millions of non-Christians, over 5 billion non-Christians in the world, may have the gospel preached to them, come to believe in Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I'm speaking to you men, in God's name, the name of Jesus Christ, propagate the gospel. Do you hear me? Propagate the gospel. Spread the faith. In the first 300 years of the church's history, when to be a Christian meant to become a martyr. All the churches of the first 300 years were below ground. To be a Christian in the early church meant to be a martyr. Maybe change the sentence. To be an honest to God Christian today means to live a martyr's life and pray for a martyr's death. Shall I say it? What cowards, what yellow cowards we Catholics can be. What do we pray for when we ask how the kingdom of Christ may come? That Christians, millions of them, who are not united with the Bishop of Rome, may once more profess the fullness of the Christian faith and union with the successor of St. Peter. Who started the Orthodox churches? Apostate bishops. Who started Protestantism? And apostate priests. Our nation has, dare I say it, more apostate bishops and priests than most of us realize. How we need believing Catholics so strong in their faith, so convinced of the truth of what they believe, that they spread the faith, hear it, to everyone who enters their lives. You're all called upon to be missionaries. When we ask, when we pray, that the kingdom of Christ may come, that Catholics everywhere may grow in the loyalty to Christ and his teaching. I repeat what I've said before. You don't close 54 Catholic churches in one hour's time in Detroit without a reason. So many once professed Catholics have stopped going to Mass, stopped attending church, and they have. I want all of you, I mean every syllable of this sentence, I'm asking God to inspire everyone here to assist at Mass. How often? Every day. Lest you forget and repeat, I'm asking God to give you the grace to assist at Mass every day of your life. As I've said more than once, the present Holy Father, for the first time in 2,000 years of Christian history, has not only allowed or permitted two Masses to be attended by every Catholic, he recommends it. What day of the week is today?
Saturday.
What day is it?
Saturday.
Tomorrow is Sunday. May be surprised, may be shocked. Tomorrow on Sunday, you'll have two masses for all of you. One in the morning, one in the evening. Tomorrow Sunday?
Yes.
I'll offer two masses. All of you insist at both masses. What are we praying for when we ask, Thy kingdom come, that Christians who are not united with the Bishop of Rome, who once more profess the fullness of their faith in union with the successor of St. Peter. What are we praying for? That those who belong to the Holy Catholic Church may be zealous. Every one of you more zealous in sharing the precious treasure of the faith with another person. I'm giving you an order. As an order. My work today is, what day of the week again?
Saturday.
What day of the month is it?
13th.
What is it?
13th
of May. By the 13th of May, the year 2001, I want every one of you to bring at least one non-Catholic into the Catholic Church. All right? I'm asking all of you, by May 13th, 2001, want to hear from every one of you. Whom have you brought either back into the church or the Catholic Church to which the person does not now belong? I'm giving this as assignment. If necessary, hereby offer, give instruction by letter or telephone to your prospective convert. What are we praying for? That the souls in purgatory may soon enter the kingdom of heaven. When we stand praying, we should, with all the earnest of our heart, beg God that all worldly thoughts in our minds may pass away. Let the soul think of nothing except of God and the things of God every minute of the day. Not my own language. That is a quotation from the great Saint Cyprian, who died a martyr in the early 3rd century. Lord Jesus, make us true, honest to God Catholics who share our faith as far as possible with everyone whom God puts in our lives. Amen. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.